researchers at IUPUI studied more than 40 years of neighborhood development in Indianapolis for a new report on income, education, and gentrification in the city. WFYI's Drew Dodlin sat down with one of its authors, Matt Nowlin, to talk about what they found.
So I think to start out, if you could say kind of what you wanted to find out when you did this study.
There are a number of anecdotal trends that we hear about how much Center Township and the core of Indianapolis has changed from suburbanization to how neighborhoods are changing now with gentrification. And we were very interested in putting some numbers behind that and seeing how those trends played out. And sometimes it's not so obvious. With gentrification, often a neighborhood might be changing, but the income level isn't really going up like you might expect, or even the population.
Could you give listeners a picture of the way that people moved around? I mean, this is a big time span from 1970. Mm-hmm. So just in Indianapolis, how the population's kind of shifted and moved since then?
So we started in 1970, and from then until 1980, we saw that in the core of Indianapolis, 120,000 white residents left, and that population grew in the outer areas of Marion County and in suburban counties. So we're assuming those are households mostly that are moving from the core to those outer suburbs. And since then, there were some periods where that growth kind of continued outwards while some neighborhoods in the heart of the city started to revitalize, starting with downtown and Mass Avenue kind of in the 80s and 90s. But generally, those next decades were a little more static compared to the 1970s, which had extreme change.
It seems like in the last 10 years that there have been pretty dramatic changes in Indianapolis in some places.
Yeah, and we found some of the most dramatic changes in the last decade were in places like Fletcher Place, which had its income double to over $200,000 for the average family. And even in places you might not notice as obviously, like Mapleton Fall Creek, where the white population has increased substantially since 2010.
The word gentrification shows up a lot, and there are times when it's applied to something and then the people behind that effort, you know, refute that and they don't want it to be considered gentrification. Can you explain how you defined that term when you did this report?
Yeah, we thought of gentrification along a few factors. We looked at neighborhoods that got increasingly white, had an increasingly large share of people between the ages of 20 and 34. We looked at areas where the income was going up quickly, and areas where that were gaining population, and areas that were gaining people who are college educated.
Is there good data? Can you find out easily where the people that were in that place went, where they were kind of pushed to as a result?
No, that's harder to study. It's, even when we look at, you know, we see white households decrease in the 70s and then increase in suburban areas. We have to assume that those are some of the same households, but we don't measure it in a way where you can know this household was here and they moved here.
And that's just an inevitable limit of the data that you're working with, I assume.
Right.
I've read articles about the suburbanization of poverty. I know that you mentioned it a little bit in your report. Is that happening in Indianapolis?
Yeah, that's another question that I'm interested in looking more into. One of the fastest changing tracks since 2010 was an area in Greenwood that's getting lower income, and the population of people of color is going up there. The education levels there are falling. And so it might be indicative of a trend like that, which would be obviously really important if that area now has the need for social services, transit, things like that, that generally are more accessible in the core of the city. Overall, we still don't have the data to know if that is a sizable trend here.